Welcome to The Greatest, a production of iHeartRadio. Hello, and welcome to another episode of The Greatest. I am Megan Gailey, and I'm joined by my husband and co-host.
We're currently sharing a microphone now because we're doing an in-person recording with a very special guest who we'll bring on in just a moment. But when you said, welcome to The Greatest, I was like, that's not the name of the show, because I was thinking you were saying, welcome to The Bubble, because I watch you record The Bubble every week. But yeah, that's all I wanted to say. I'm CJ Toledano, and this is a very fun episode.
Oh, I don't like this already. We're sharing a mic back and forth, even though our guest, who lives 8 minutes away, said, I have mics. There we go. I hope you caught CJ going, no. It's just really hard not to interrupt. And I know that that's something that I need to work on. So I guess this episode, not only will it be informative, it'll also be a chance to watch me not interrupt people. Oh boy. Our guest, very dear friend, just launched his new podcast, Doing My Best.
Doing my best.
Okay, great. Oh. Dear friend, originally from Cleveland, I know that's going to come up, by way of Chicago and New York. Give it up for Mike Joyce.
Hello. Hello.
Michael, also, I don't want to miss a credit. You co-produce a very fun stand-up show when that existed with me.
Yeah.
Motherland.
We were every Thursday night.
Yeah. Me, you, and Megan go way back. We started comedy together in Chicago. What? What year was this?
Ooh, 2010?
I moved there in 2009.
Okay. So I was there a little before you.
Mm-hmm. I mean, such good friends that when you and your wife moved from Chicago to New York, you gave me your open mic and we threw you a going away party.
Yeah.
Where we said that you and your wife were our twin towers and that we would never forget you. See, you can't say, you can't go Megan, no, because I have the mic right now. It's almost like we're in, I've never been to marriage counseling, despite...
Michael, thank you for being here.
You guys are missing so many eye rolls. Like, it's too bad this is a podcast format. Because
him too.
Oh, both. Yeah,
I just love doing eye rolls.
Mm-hmm.
But Michael, so you are a father. You are a two very beautiful children, a lovely wife, beautiful wife, and
I got the whole package.
Shout out to your dog.
We just got the white picket fence. So
oh my gosh, great picket fence. But this is a sports podcast, so I do want to just like, I want to align the audience with where your allegiance stands.
That would be all things Cleveland sports.
Mm-hmm.
I am sort of a psychopath mm-hmm. when it comes to that. I would put myself on Megan Gailey, Indiana level.
I would put you maybe over me.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's an honor, but I'm also kind of scared.
I mean, but do you think this is a phenomenon that's kind of like specific to Cleveland in some ways, though? I don't know any passive Cleveland fans.
No, I don't either. We're a strange breed. We truly live and die by it. And I try to get excited for other sports, but nothing, like I can't get into hockey because there's no Cleveland team. It's, mm-hmm. There's something that's broken in my brain. But
I don't know. I mean, yeah, because most of my friends growing up, Cleveland fan, like for mm-hmm. a lot of our friends, a lot of Cleveland fans, and it almost is, I guess, Stockholm syndrome, or just like the more they lose, the more you guys love them and believe in them.
Yeah, it's fatalism. You know, the Browns are 5-2 right now, mm-hmm. and Cleveland fans don't know how to act. In fact, they're mm-hmm. upset.
Mm-hmm.
That because we lost two games kind of badly, but they're angry, and I feel like it's the last 2 years of LeBron It's like, can we just enjoy this? Like, it's not going to last forever. Remember how terrible it was?
So you, I mean, and that's sort of like an interesting fan thing where, like, I wonder, like, next year, if the Jets are 5-2 at this point, mm-hmm. are their fans going to be like, why did we lose those two games? Like, yeah. It's almost as though, like, psychologically, we're not able to be like, this is great, because you still want more. You want to be 7-0,
yes.
even though you've been 0-7 many, many times.
I think nothing matters to us until the Browns win a championship and the Indians win a championship. For myself, I think LeBron in 2016 lifted yeah. that weight off my shoulders, and I'm no longer in the Cleveland is now the city of champions, and that's how I like to approach my sports now.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not, I find I'm in the minority. I text with all my Cleveland friends, and they're pretty miserable right now, and I just don't understand why. I mean, OBJ went down.
Yeah,
yeah, that's what I was going to ask about. So Odell, I mean, so I want to first say I saw that firsthand, and we had a text thread with our friend Zach, also a Cleveland guy, mm-hmm. and you were pretty celebratory. I was like, I thought I was, you know, inviting you guys to gloat, to celebrate a little bit, and you did a little bit, but then our friend Zach was just like, no, this is the worst team I've ever watched. This is the worst Browns team.
No,
you're 5-2.
It's not. It's by far one of the best teams we've ever watched
yeah.
since he was 4 years old. So
yeah.
I don't want to hear it, Zach. I hope you're listening.
But what is that?
It is, you know, I don't know. It's some sort of fatalism. Maybe we enjoy being losers more than mm-hmm. we enjoy being winners. It is. It was happening with LeBron. Like, at the last year of LeBron, there were people on sports radio who would be like, let's just trade LeBron and get what. And I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I want to soak up every second of this
yeah.
because he's the greatest ever to do it. And I want to enjoy myself. So
would anyone fall for that? Would anyone fall for trading for LeBron with a 1 year left? I guess it's
the
like,
Lakers.
Yeah, the Lakers, but there was intention. Yeah, it just seems like
I want
that
Kuzma in Cleveland.
Yeah, he probably will. It seems like all those baby Lakers make their way through there.
What's the like Clubbin Street, 6th Street?
Oh, yeah.
He'd be at Liquid or yeah. whatever. I feel like Kuz yeah. as the king of Cleveland would be amazing,
oh, yeah,
actually.
The Velvet Dog, the rooftop.
This kind of brings us to our topic today, which is greatest sports cities.
Mm-hmm.
CJ and I were having a bit of a discussion about this before you got here and just sort of like what we were using as our criteria.
Okay.
My criteria sort of ended up being events that city can offer, overall vibe, sensitivity to social issues. I mean, there are some cities that I was like, listen, you're not on the list anymore. Okay.
No.
I'm saying for my list, there's been enough players mm-hmm. on home teams and opposing teams that have been like, I got called this name there so many times that it's like, I do think that you don't get to be on the list then, if that's something that's a habitual issue.
Yeah. Boston,
I mean, I'm obviously talking about
you.
Boston.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and you hear that across the board. You hear that hockey, I think it's harder to hear, and there's not a lot of black NHL players, even though they're, I think, there's going to be a lot more, but like in football, probably less too, but in basketball and baseball, you hear from players that Boston is just, I mean, I think it's part of the reason Mookie is not there anymore.
Yeah.
And so that does end up being an issue for me. If you're not nice to your own players, then I don't think you're a great sports town.
I would agree with that criteria. I think I took it from more of a, like, who's got the best fans, kind of.
Yeah.
And yeah, because if you're looking from sheer championship volume, that doesn't impress me at all, because that just means you have mm-hmm. the deepest.
Playing, baby.
Yeah.
No one can even.
Wait, Megan's going to say the joke into the microphone.
Shania Twain, baby, that don't impress you much.
Right. Now you don't get it back for 5 minutes.
I was once talking to a Boston guy in the airport in like 2016, and he's like, and we were just like talking sports, and he's like, yeah, I'm actually rooting for the Cavs. I'm like, oh yeah, why? He's like, Kevin Love. He's like a good white player.
Oh my
and
I'm just God. Like, and I'm but like, that makes
are
sense.
You kidding me?
Yeah, it makes sense though.
Get out, Mookie.
Well, and I would just like to say the reason that fans is fans can be something that takes away from you in my criteria, but doesn't really add to. I mean, sports fans are bad. We're stupid.
Yes.
We're, and I'm saying this as me. I'm stupid. I'm emotional. I'm not fact-based. It's all sort of like, how do I feel? And what did my dad tell me? You know, yeah. Like, so it's not, you can't even like, sports fans are so bad and so fickle that they don't even get a voice in my nominees. Should we get it
popping? We can get it popping. Michael, I know you said that's how you're defined. Define it how you want to define it. Don't let, you know, we're going to have several reasons, whether it's
we're
your
gonna
fans,
have a spirited debate.
Events. Yeah, this is what the show is, a spirited debate where audience members, they say, Megan yells at me too much. Spirited debate. Spirited debate.
Is that in the reviews?
Yeah. How are we on time? Okay, so 10, so we'll, yeah, let's just go right into it. How it works, we're going to have 3 picks each.
Okay.
Descending order, we still haven't figured out if it's descending or ascending, but you're going to do your third pick.
Okay.
And then we're all going to end on our greatest number one pick. So why don't you kick us off with your number 3 pick for greatest sports city?
Okay. Clearly, like New York, Boston, they're all out because they're terrible. Yeah. Well, okay. Did you see how many people wore Mets hats who were formerly Yankees fans when the Mets went to the World Series a couple years ago? I don't respect that.
Gotcha.
I actually kind of respect White Sox fans because they ride hard.
Oh, I have huge respect for them.
When they should have been Cubs fans, but they aren't. But yeah, Boston, racism. Also, they pretend like they're some oppressed sports team, but they've won so many championships in the last 20 years. Yeah. It's like that. It's over. You guys are just, you know, New York Yankees with like worse accents.
I do like Fever Pitch and The Town, which both have iconic scenes at Fenway.
That's true.
So I will say that.
That's true. Was the Fever Pitch the one with Jimmy Fallon?
Yeah, where they were like, movie. we're losers, and then they won, and then they're like, we gotta reshoot the end of the movie.
It is like, yeah, I remember, what an opportune time. It's almost like, why didn't Jimmy have a movie career after the Red Sox won while making a Red Sox movie?
Well, I think Jimmy's okay. I don't know if, I think he's okay, I think he likes his gig.
We love you, Jimmy.
We love you, Jim. You know the Gailey family loves Jimmy.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay, now give us your number three.
Okay, so number three, I kind of want to give it to...
You can do whatever you want. This isn't real.
Minnesota and...
Well, that's a state.
Or I'm sorry, well, the Minneapolis.
Minneapolis, okay.
My apologies, Minneapolis. But like Minnesota Vikings, you know.
Yeah, Minneapolis, gotcha.
Minneapolis, And I kind of want to lump in Green Bay with that because they tailgate very hard when it's cold. I'm just very impressed with how much they go out in the cold.
Absolutely.
The shirts are off. I mean, I'll give like Chicago honorable mentions for the shirtless fat men in the cold. So I highly respect that.
I feel like you're Joe Biden right now. You're like, I love Minnesota and I love Wisconsin. And it's like, bring it on home, baby.
Bring it on home. Vote Biden.
Yeah.
Kamala.
I fully agree and co-signed on this. I mean, Packers fans own their team.
Yeah, and that's really cool.
Very amazing.
And the Twins, they always have good attendance no matter how bad the team is or how good they are. They always sell out, even when it's cold. Like, no one goes to Cleveland games in the spring because it's freezing, but like people show up for Twins games. So I have a lot of respect for that fan base. They like jump into ice cold water. It's a lot of weather based things, but I do believe there aren't any fair weather fans up there. They're just there.
There's no fair weather because there's no good weather.
No, yeah, Megan and I went there for the Super Bowl, Minneapolis, spent a week there, and we went to a Timberwolves game where a child ran away and assaulted Megan.
What?
This was a toddler was like running around, is it the Target Center? Yeah. I like knew it was. He's like running around the Target. I mean, he had a diaper on. Like, this is like a baby toddler.
He's too old to be wearing.
Okay, but still in a diaper.
Man shits in a diaper.
And he's fully like, I'm like looking around at people being like, is he? And no one is coming for him. And so I start, he's just running, but he got a little short baby legs. So I just start following him. And now we're like 8 sections away from where we started. I mean, we're a quarter away around this massive stadium. So I'm like, they're not coming. And so I go up, I'm like, hi. And he hits me. And then I'm like, are you okay? And then he like kicked me. And then another, you know, white lady do-gooder, she's like, what's going on over here? And we're both like trying to find, I like, get a security guard. At one point, he pushed open the door to the outside and was like leaving. And then some fucking idiot barreled up a man, a dumbass man, came up. Where have you been? And just took him by the hand and walked away. I'm like, where did you come from? We were sitting behind the backboard and now we are behind the bench. Like we've traveled around the stadium and I think the kid was just so bad. They didn't really want him back.
Maybe it was like that Bugs Bunny cartoon where it's actually an old man dressed as a baby who robs banks.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Maybe. Was he smoking a cigar?
Yeah, he was.
He almost had teeth that looked like they had been ruined by nicotine. Like this kid looked like he'd lived hard already. Sad. That's why when he hit me, I was like, the fuck? I don't know if you have your shots. I don't know if you're going to bite me. Like you seem like they dragged you out of the damn wilderness. And this is some sort of make a wish, but just for little Billy Bob kids to come and watch fucking basketball.
Oh my God.
So that's a plus for Milwaukee.
Megan's doing time in between the picks. No, I did want to add to that. Lombardi Leap is maybe the most like,
boom.
I feel like when people do that in other stadiums, they still call it the Lombardi Leap, right? It's like such, Lambo Leap. Sorry. Lombardi. Why am I saying, why did you let me say that for so many times?
Well, because it's just Lambo. Bounced around and I knew it wasn't.
Yeah, my bad. The Lambo Leap. But yeah, it's like, it's so iconic. And then
games
Twins,
in snow, football games in snow.
Yeah.
When like Brett Favre and he's not a great person, but
he's not,
Aaron Rodgers, who is a great person.
I'm not going to say anything about Aaron Rodgers. I'm just going to give Michael more evidence. I also think college sports factor into this and they are die. Oh my God. You get a Wisconsin person saying go Badgers. They love it. They love the Gophers up there. Yeah. I mean, they ride really hard. My brother lives in Madison and it's like, that's a great town.
That is a fun town.
They do sports nice up there. Yeah. I think that's a good, and two states we really need to get back.
Yeah.
Okay. Come on blue, baby. All right. So for my number three pick, I don't give a fuck what anybody says. I'm picking Indianapolis. And here we go. They've hosted a Super Bowl.
Okay.
For you to even be on a list of cities to host a Super Bowl is a really, really big deal. They have the Pacers, the Colts. They also host the largest sporting event in the world every single year. I don't really care about it that much, but 250,000 people come to Indianapolis every year to see a race car thingy. A race car race? Can you say that? And I think that that's a huge deal. And sports college-wise, we've got Butler in the city. You've got Purdue an hour away. You've got IU an hour away. I mean, Notre Dame is 2 hours away. You are kind of in like Big Ten heaven there. People ride really, really hard for those teams. The Final Four comes to Indianapolis every like third year. It's the NCAA headquarters. It's the home of basketball. I think any day in Indy, if you want to see a sporting event that's like cool and fun and will be in a venue that is unique, you have that possibility. Now, I will also say there is going to come a time when these small markets are going to have to appeal to athletes. And the way to do it is not by saying, please shut up. We don't care about your political views. And I see a lot of those comments. And it's like, if you want Victor Oladipo to stay in Indianapolis, you need to be nicer to Victor Oladipo. Like that's just kind of common sense. And if we want to have any black athletes at all in any of these shitty cities, they've got to start fucking acting nicer to them.
So your number three pick, but your number one thing to ask them is to not be racist.
I'm going to say that to every single city that's on my list, because every single city that's on my list has racist people as sports fans that are really loud and really annoying and really hateful and drag down the rest of the city.
Yeah, I think that's a problem in the entire world. For sports, it's...
Yeah, shut up and dribble.
Yeah, and even in like, you know, soccer and European soccer, there's some... horrible things.
Well, I haven't said a single thing.
but I agree. Pacers are always good. Colts are always good. Like, they're good sports. And you're right. people from Indiana love college sports. I have mad respect for...
Oh my God, they love high school sports. It's crazy.
Oh, yeah.
What was I... Oh, I was just going to say, my other two cities are in blue states. And this is a blue city in a red state. And I do think, like, as fans, you got to start being more conscious of how the people are just being treated. These are not entities. These are human beings. And you have to be good to them on a human being level for them to want to stay in any of these cities.
Yeah, it's no longer we own you.
Right. Yeah.
And that just started. I mean, it was probably with the letter Dan Gilbert wrote.
Yes.
Yeah. And people are like, ooh.
Thank God. And I've heard rumors that LeBron and his crew want to buy the Cavs. And I pray for that, because not only for LeBron, but for players to still the prime of their career to like be able to buy the team. Like, yes, they made you the money in the first place. Like,
yeah,
like the Cavs are as big of an operating organization because of LeBron. Like, so he should have every opportunity to buy that when he has the money.
When he left, he not only like the dollar amount that the franchise was valued at, I can't remember the exact number, but it was, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yeah.
And not only that, it was like the income of the city.
The economy is incalculable
because we have proof, because LeBron left and then came back. Like, there are numbers that show like this LeBron is worth so much money to the greater Cleveland area. It was it was insane.
Yeah. All right. My third pick. I was having trouble where to put this. It might be the wrong order, but I'm going to say Los Angeles. Why do you say that way?
I'm saying that way because we live here. Mm-hmm. I love the sports here. LA is notoriously a bad sports town.
Yeah. I mean, my entry point is basketball. Mm-hmm. I think it's like it's basketball. It's baseball. It's the Lakers. And I will say I'm not even going to say that many nice things with the Lakers. We all know why, you know, it's a historic franchise, 17 championships, the best basketball team in the city. But the Dodgers too, despite someone recommended a book and some reading about how Dodger Stadium was bad for the Echo Park community. And absolutely bad. But, you know, I think there are a lot of transplants come here from, you know, these other cities that we're talking about, and they are able to experience sports. Like, coming from Erie, Pennsylvania, and living here, like, I love that I can go to any major sporting event. And for the most part, they've been pretty good. Football, like, I saw the greatest football game, NFL game of like the last 10 years, that Kansas City Rams game. And it was in the Coliseum, not a great pro football stadium, but incredible. And like the vibes of, it was kind of like an even split. It was like half Rams fans, which maybe every Rams fan to ever exist, LA Rams fan, and the Chiefs, which a lot of transplants from Kansas City. It was awesome. Also too, a lot of my friends who like the Clippers, who weren't basketball fans, came here and are now diehard basketball fans because the Clippers games were affordable. Mm-hmm. And they, some got season tickets, some just went more often. And that team has had some historic lineups, Lob City, this current one, and also the Olympics. The Olympics, we were supposed to have the second, was it the second? 2024. Yeah, 2024 was supposed to be, and then the 80s, is that when the last one was?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, and yeah, most athletes live here in the off season because it's a mixture of like, you know, the weather is nice, the top trainers and doctors are out here. I think every player is like, if I can live in any city, I'm going to pick Los Angeles.
Yeah.
We now have two football teams, and which is
that
wild.
Was strange.
It's very, very strange, and I feel bad for San Diego, a city I don't like, but I do think it's fucked up. And also the Sparks, and also the Kings.
Yeah,
we went to an LA Kings game. It was so. Hockey is, people say it's the best sport to see in person, and to be able to see it in person at Staples Center, it's cool. Like, I do love seeing hockey in the arenas that we get to see, sort of.
Yeah,
the star sports in.
And Staples Center is really cool. Like, the lighting they do, you can tell, like, oh, this is a Hollywood production. It definitely beats Cleveland's laser light show. You know, we got the flames, but that's about it.
Well, they said, and I think it was the forum with the Lakers, that they lit that thing like a Broadway play. It was, you know, the court was the only thing lit and everything else was dim like a show. And they do some iteration of it a little bit. Again, like the lighting, in my opinion, is better at the Lakers and the Clippers, but like a lot of stadiums are adopting that. And I think it really kind of makes it a real cool experience.
For sure. I would only disagree because LA is kind of a shit football fan town.
Mm-hmm.
But I admire any baseball town, and LA is a sneaky, like, yes. I didn't realize how much people love the Dodgers.
Yeah.
It's not just because they're good every year. You see kids, little kids in their front yard playing baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't see that, or at least I grew up in Ohio, you grew up in Pennsylvania, Indiana. That was all football.
Basketball.
Maybe basketball, you know. Some baseball, but like and there's a lot of major league players who are from Southern California. So
the murals,
LA
has the best sports murals.
They do.
We've lived in the other cities. It's like, I don't ever remember seeing a sports mural in Chicago
Biggie gets all the good murals in New York.
Yeah.
Chicago, I don't know, Chris Farley.
Yeah, I'm like, Rom?
Where are the Chris Farley murals?
I don't know, but I want to see one. Yeah,
now I want to go make one of him, in a bear, like doing Da Bears on the side of Second City.
Oh, hell yeah.
You know what's wild, too? LA just got this incredible, probably the most beautiful stadium in the world, and we haven't even seen it yet. I thought of it because they're playing in it right now on Monday Night Football. I'm like, I can't wait to go to SoFi. Oh boy, we're gonna get crunk at SoFi. I can't wait. Okay, let's take a quick break and then we'll be right back. Okay, and we are back with our number two picks for greatest sports cities. Michael, you start us off this round too.
Okay, I am gonna go with Philly.
Ooh.
Okay.
Great.
So they are terrible people, but I admire their passion, right?
Yeah.
Like, you ever hear the stories about like how, you know, some international soccer team would accidentally score a goal on themselves and then that guy would get murdered? I feel like if it happened in America, it would happen in Philadelphia. And I kind of admire that. They throw really good riots when they win. Charles Barkley is a thick-skinned, great dude. And he were like, yeah, Philly fans are assholes.
Yeah.
And like it's so hard to get under Charles Barkley's skin. And I know I was ragging on Boston and New York earlier, but I don't know. I respect Philly. They are delusional, but also realistic. I think the 76ers are iconic. The Eagles are iconic. And even the Phillies,
they're
in the Flyers.
That's a great pick. They deserve to be on this list. Are their fans insane? Yes. Like every
truly.
Philly fan I know, that is their identity. That is like what their reason for being is. And it's scary. Like you come across Philly fans on Twitter. It's scary. But like, man, I'm a front runner myself. And they've stuck through their teams through some dark times. And when they won, I'm going to let Megan bring up what she loves to bring up.
Oh, yeah. I mean, my favorite story out of Philly is the man who
ate... The Bill Burr story?
No, the man who ate horse poop off the ground.
What?
When they were celebrating the Super Bowl. I guess the thing is, no one else has ever heard this. So then it's like, did I make it up? But it is my favorite story. But Philly fans, they really scare me. They're like so... And the Super Bowl that we were at in Minnesota, it was Patriots, Eagles. And so we were all rooting for the Eagles, the whole stadium, except for like the actual Patriots fans there, just because you want the Patriots to lose. But I was like, oh my God, thank God I'm on these people's side, because I went to one Eagles tailgate at an Eagles game because I was shooting something there. And it was like 2 weeks after the 2016 election. And they saw like the camera go up and the whole parking lot started chanting Trump.
Ooh.
So it's like, it's not a crew that I want to hang with.
No,
sorry, guys. It's just not.
I would wear an opposing team's jersey pretty much anywhere, but not to a Philly game.
Yeah.
Because I just would not want that.
Yeah. No, I mean, we saw what?
It's like
there was a clip last week of them fighting a Ravens and it's like during COVID they're still fighting people. They're insane.
Were they wearing a mask when they fought?
Fuck no.
Yeah, there's no. I mean, this goes for baseball and will probably go for basketball since that's coming back too early now. It's so funny that they did everything right and then they're still gonna. That's how long this thing's been going on. That they're coming back too early in their second season during COVID. But yeah, Philly fans are just. I mean, Iverson, just him being kind of this outsider, like breaking all the rules, which was so cool to me, like kind of put in like their other, like Ed Reed, Brian Dawkins, all the, like the best Philly athletes just reinforced how fucking crazy and badass all their fans have become. So yeah, I mean, Philly's a great choice, but I'm scared of them.
Yeah. It's better to be feared than loved, you know?
Yeah. I think the boxing legacy, obviously, like they excel at sports that are outside of the major four too. Okay. Great pick. And I'm happy someone put Philly on the list. Cause it's like, I really don't want to be murdered in my sleep, you know? my second pick is a change from what I was going to do. And I'm going to say the Bay just as a whole, they ride hard you see 49ers stuff everywhere. We went to Disneyland last year. I was like, is Jimmy Garoppolo here? Like, it's the number one football team that I see on like traveling. And obviously they love the Giants so much. Yeah. I mean, the Warriors were in Oakland and they were bad and everyone supported them. And then it sucks that they like went back to San Francisco. So I like Oakland's fans a lot better. I think this season of Last Chance U like really gave us a window into them loving football that I didn't realize. And they also seem kind of scary. Like I wouldn't want to fuck up a Giants fan.
If it was Oakland Raiders, we're still the Oakland Raiders. I probably would have put the Bay.
Right.
On that.
And them not having it, it's horrible. I mean, and you still see Raiders stuff up there. Like they love that team. They were taken from them. I don't like it. And Vegas is definitely not going to make anyone's list. But yeah, a Raiders fan is the scariest fan you could ever think of. I think like those guys that,
and the just the outfits and like chains and the spikes,
like the silver and the black, like they fucking
was that the place where someone got thrown off like the second?
Was a Giants.
Oh, okay.
San Francisco Giants.
Okay.
Actually, there maybe I'm thinking of the fight that happened. I believe it was Dodgers Giants. Yeah. Baseball. Who knew? I mean, life or death. This shit is crazy. But yeah, I just, it's so beautiful up there. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's because I was there last week with your wife, but you just see 49ers stuff everywhere and you see Warrior stuff everywhere. And it's a big kind of rich city. Is what we think of it as techie and Silicon Valley-esque, but it's like, no, this is like a gritty, cool-ass, badass sports town, too.
And I love when they hit home runs, the Giants, it goes into the Bay, and the guys go out in the canoes to get it. And my uncle, he's a 49ers fan, and he just has an entire room with 49ers. And like, he doesn't even, you just like walk in, like nothing, no other inclination in the house, and then you walk in, and it's like, you know, a statue of Jimmy Garoppolo, and you're like, what the?
That's what I want my room to be with every team LeBron has played for.
If you want a statue of Jimmy Garoppolo in our house, then I'm all for it.
If I find you fucking Jimmy the G. statue of Jimmy Garoppolo, I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to go have
Megan
fun.
Megan puts the chain on him.
Yeah. Have fun. Let the statue pick up the kids. all right, should I do my pick? So my second pick was going to be Philly. So, and I'm trying to pick one that I don't want to steal any of your guys because I know you did real research. That's what I was going to pick, actually. New York. So Megan said she gave up New York and is kindly as a nice, beautiful wife gave me New York City or New York, New York as a whole. Well, I mean, okay, so I'm going to say New York City, but what teams play in New York City besides the Knicks?
Buffalo.
The Rangers do play there, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, they play at Madison.
So the Knicks and the Rangers, but New York, I'm just going to say New York. I know it's best cities, but like in New York, they have what? The Knicks, the Rangers, the Giants, and the Islanders, which play at Barclays now.
They did? I don't. They might did. Be moving it back because people were not liking it. Those yeah. are all like Long Island people.
I saw
Island
Islanders
people.
Game there in... Yeah, which are in New Jersey. The Nets are in Brooklyn. But, like, it's historic. Like, we have so many famous athletes now who were born in New York, mm-hmm. and that was their life. They have, just on, like, a recreational level, like, if you want to play basketball, you walk 2 feet outside your house, there's a court. You come up on that court, like, West 4th, Rucker, all, like, yeah. basketball, football is big, like... The thing is, like, none of these teams have been good. And again, it's like Philly and all these other teams, even though the Eagles won, like, they are ride or die for, you know, and for the last decade, I apologize that they've had to go through a lot of this stuff. But yeah, the fact that, like, Knicks games still almost sell out. And I would say MSG is probably when people were like, before I ever went there, they were like, it is like church. And when you walk in, it really, you just get this feeling. And I was watching a Bulls. Knicks game there, which wasn't a good matchup that year, and it was awesome. Like, this, you look up at the ceiling, it's beautiful. They have, like, the first couple rows are celebrities, like, that's still a thing, celebrity row, and you walk to it, and you get on the subway. It's a whole experience that, like, any sports fan, I hope that they can experience it. So yeah.
Yeah, I respect that they still love the Knicks, even though they have been terrible for a long time. It's the Yankees who really mm-hmm. spoil it for me, because I do not like the Yankees.
They do have very loyal fans. And their fan base is massive. I mean, you'll find Yankees fans all over the world.
Yeah.
Mets fans are extremely loyal. Mm-hmm. I feel like I know more Mets fans than I know Yankees fans. And they're always like, I don't know why you do this to me. And then their kid is in it. And you're like, oh, shit. Also, the U.S. Open is there every single year. I mean, it's a really incredible event. New York throws events probably better and in more of a headache fashion than anywhere else. But yeah, definitely. For all of those teams to exist there, and Broadway and music, and like every single thing you could ever want to do is in that city, and the Knicks still draw people, that's fucking insane. I mean, I feel so bad.
This is a whole other episode, but I was just thinking in my head, maybe the greatest sports hat is the Yankees.
Yeah,
maybe
that's Jay-Z.
Yeah.
That's not even the sports.
To me, I would go, yeah, Yankees and Dodgers are like the.
You're right.
Those are the most recognized or iconic sports hats.
People get scared of the Yankees just because of their uniforms. I know that was from Catch Me If You Can, but it's true because like the Indians always get eliminated.
Those pinstripes, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we'll take one last break and then we'll be right back. Okay, and we are back. So now we are up to our number one pick. I'm worried we're going to have the same.
Uh-oh.
I guess I was going to have an honorable mention, but it was New York, which I so generously gifted to CJ. And so my number one is Chicago.
Okay.
Okay, sorry, CJ. Well, we can share it since we share this mic. I find Chicago sports fans to be totally insufferable.
Yes.
Cannot handle them. Don't want to be around them. They annoy me. But I do think when you talk about the big boy sports, you got the Bears, the Blackhawks, you have two baseball teams that are always like in the news. You know, they're not always winning, but they're always like kind of important. I wish more people went to White Sox games. And then you have the Blackhawks. They say them who mm-hmm. are...
Who are great.
An original six, iconic, the Bears original. I mean, Chicago sort of is a town that is defined by what's happening in their sports and defined by their just sports identity. The Bears is so big. But yeah, I think their fans suck. And I think where the United Center is, they got to get better public transportation to it. And where Soldier Field is, they got to get better public transportation to that. Okay.
That's what I was going to say. Michael, what were you going to say?
Yeah, Soldier Field is in the middle of nowhere.
I know. But it's huge and it's beautiful. And
it is beautiful.
How are you going to put that in the middle
of all those parks
like
down there are
city?
So gorgeous, yeah. But nobody goes to them.
Why does U.S. Cellular Field face Indiana and not Chicago? That's just an architectural thing I have.
I think it's the highway.
Yeah, it's the highway, and it can't be that close to Wrigley.
I'm not talking about moving the location. I'm saying it faces into Northwest Indiana, which is truly just the taint of America.
If the wind is strong enough,
when you could just
turn
and look at a beautiful skyline.
But what do you mean face? Like a stadium can face?
Like home plate isn't facing.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, I was also going to add to it. I don't think that about the fans. The fans are wonderful. I mean, spoiled, yes. The 90s Bulls spoiled everyone. But I just think that the teams, just by, again, their uniforms, this is like another episode, but like iconic, classic, never changes. Sometimes they do some weird alternates, but the Bulls, the Cubs, the Sox, the Bears, Blackhawks, like... Well, I don't know, but I don't know what the ethics are on that.
I think it's okay because it's the Blackhawks and it's like a specific tribe, but
okay.
I could be very wrong.
No, people don't. I think you're probably right. I'm sure there's some issues, but
I know the Blackhawks have come out and said, we're not changing it. So they seem at peace.
Well, I've been to Blackhawks games and they don't usually have protesters, and I've been to Indians games and there's usually protesters.
Yeah, I believe that.
But also too, it's just like, it's smack dab in the middle of this country. And, you know, everyone always says you got to cater to the Midwest, and I don't know. Yeah. There's something about, you know, you got your New York versus LA, or even your Boston and New York, but like the fact that they're in the middle, like I grew up in Iowa and we got WGN, which showed all the Chicago sports, and like, I talked to people in like St. Louis and all this other stuff, and they all love, a lot of people love in the Midwest, just love Chicago sports. And so like they almost make up for way more of a region than any of these other teams. So yeah, they're a great sports city.
You mentioned St. Louis, and I just want to make sure I clarify, you're a terrible fucking city.
St. Louis, I respect that they like baseball so much because that doesn't happen a lot. But other than that.
The Cardinals are cute. I like the Cardinals. I just hate that city.
And I also just, Megan made fun of me because I was going to say Erie. This is an honorable mention. Then we'll get to your number one, Erie, Pennsylvania, because you can root for, this is where I grew up, and you can root for within 2 hours are the Browns, the Steelers, the Bills. And yeah. And then also whatever.
You probably got WGN. Chicago is like, the Cubs are so famous because of WGN, because 40 states saw their games all growing up.
I almost feel proud of myself that I didn't become a Cubs fan as a child. I was like, I see you ramming it down my throat and I don't like it. One honorable mention that I know that we will want to both say is Buffalo. That's a, I mean, they will go out in a blizzard. They love the Sabres. They invented Buffalo wings. You know, like we wouldn't even.
That's for every sport,
every team. We would think about how bad our lives would be if we didn't have those.
That's where the Clippers started. The Braves.
That's where the Clippers started. So Buffalo, we love you. And I don't know, maybe get another team. And then you can make the list.
Bill Sabres and what else?
That's it.
New eras there. They make hats for.
Nobody can hear you. Okay, Michael. Okay, Michael, you bring us home with your number one pick. Now I know what it is. Okay, I can't believe I thought we were going to have overlap.
The same. Well, you know,
we left it to
I
you.
Do respect Chicago, but I saw a lot of people hop on the Sox bandwagon, which rubs me the wrong way, and I find a lot of them insufferable, but I do respect how much they love it. And plus, my wife grew up a block away from Wrigley Field, and I think it's really cool that there's like the stadium's like in the city. Mm-hmm. You like, and like that's very unique. But no, my number one is Cleveland. Cleveland, everyone.
Clear that throat.
Cleveland. Okay, so I'm just gonna say we have all the major sports teams. We got baseball. We got basketball. We got football. We've been long suffering, and yet we still love our teams. We've had the heartbreak, which I think makes us kind of lovable. It also gives us perspective. I've read some study that like people who have bad sports teams actually are better at dealing with problems when they become adults because they've dealt with heartbreak. And I've spoken with Bulls, like kids who grew up in the 90s. And
they're bad
like,
people.
Well, they're just like, oh, I never like... I never realized like your sports teams lose.
Yeah, it's like CJ.
Yeah, yeah. It's
gimme. It's like, no, you need to cry for like 5 years yes! straight.
Yeah. And oh God. And then that 2016 championship was just like, it took a lot off my shoulders. Mm-hmm. Let me just say. Okay. So there's also, I mean, the Browns, we have the dog pound. We have, I mean, the Browns fans are, I will put them toe to toe with any insane fan base.
Isn't there something that like there's more Browns designated bars around the country than any other?
Yes.
But that could also mean a lot of people leave Cleveland.
That is very true.
Okay.
And that's one thing, like the Indians, we don't have good attendance anymore. In the 90s, we sold out for like 4 years straight.
Well, you had movie series based on the team. You got to imagine that helps sell some tickets.
Yeah. But now, yeah, people have moved away. But we still, but our television ratings are always like top like five. I'm making that up, but it's up,
it's
there.
Up there.
It's up there much higher
than. You exceed your like
because
size.
We are the Cleveland diaspora. Our championship parade was like insane. Just the sheer amount of people who like came back, traveled from all places in the world. Like Trump, when he says like, look how many people showed up to Cleveland for my rally. He takes pictures of that and tries
to. No, that's what he uses?
They've used it several times. They were saying for the RNC
hilarious.
When it was in Cleveland. It's so.
And then everyone's like, why is J.R. Smith?
yeah, sure.
Why is she next to Jared? Why is he next to Jared Kushner?
Yeah, it's just J.R. shirtless next to Kevin Love, but zoomed in. Yeah, I mean.
Wait. And, I just have to bring up 10 Cent Beer Night because I don't know if anyone else has had a
what
riot.
Is that?
So, okay, 10 Cent Beer Night. We were, I can't even remember. I think it was the 80s. It may be the 70s for 10 Cent Beer. So Cleveland was pretty bad. It was at Old Municipal Stadium, which was our football stadium and our baseball stadium. So we could fit way too many people in there for baseball. Like it was a terrible, like all the baseball players hated it. And we had actually just gotten in a fight with the Texas Rangers like a week or two. And they started like the Rangers players were like shitting on Cleveland. So then they had 10 Cent Beer Night. Rangers were in town. They like put a cap on it, like six beers a person, but nobody cared. We got like 10,000 more fans than typically come to games. They just came to drink. So like in between innings, people are running on the field. And things kind of turned south because we were down 5-1. So fans start throwing stuff on the field. Mike Hargrove, who actually went on to be our manager, he was playing first base. He said that like people threw must have been like 12 pounds of hot dogs at him. People were chucking. He got an empty jug of wine. It was like Thunderbird wine. They threw that at him. Right. They still didn't cancel the game until the ninth inning. Cleveland actually had tied it up 5-5. A fan, like a 20-year-old, runs onto the field, tries to take the hat off of one of the Rangers outfielders, but the guy from the dugout, the Rangers dugout, they thought he was attacking him. So the Rangers grab their bats and they run out to like protect this guy. And then the fans, they start ripping out the seats and they jump on the field and they're like starting to attack.
Is there YouTube videos of this?
I've seen a documentary about
this
it.
Is like,
it was like worst moments in sports history. Yeah. I mean, you guys also had a river catch on fire.
We had okay, listen. Cleveland, there was a lot of rivers that caught on fire in America during that period, but you know, Cuyahoga was a big one. So yeah, it was a great, actually the Cleveland players went to defend them and then they like went back in groups in the clubhouse. Anyways, big riot.
Yeah.
And the best part was the announcers were calling it from the booth. They're like, this is horrible.
I mean, it's like the Malice in the Palace.
Yeah. And that wasn't even our only one. We have Bottlegate. That's why they don't do glass bottles at stadiums
anymore.
That
makes sense. Someone's going to get it to that point.
And that, but you know what? Those refs deserved it because they cost us a game and a trip to the playoffs.
There's your Cleveland coming out of you.
Also, I mean, oh God, Ohio State fans, nobody rides harder than those people.
We also hate all of the surrounding states because we have like rival, well, not actually Indiana, I'm sorry, but we... Yes. But we hate Michigan.
They look down on us. That's why they don't hate us.
Yes. Michigan, we hate Pittsburgh, and then thus most of Western Pennsylvania. We don't, well, you know, Philly,
what
I got nothing
heck?
Else, but, but so anyways, that's mainly it. LeBron.
LeBron. Yeah. He's coming back for, it's going to be his farewell season. It's going to be in Cleveland. I was going to ask Michael, because I love hearing when you, when the Cubs and Indians were in the World Series, and I still can't get a read on how real it got, but your wife, again, grew up a block away from Wrigley,
yeah,
in World Series.
Yeah.
I mean, two teams that really deserved it.
Yes.
What can you describe the, what that week or that 2 weeks was like?
That was hard. So my dad is, he's been a season ticket holder for, you know, a long time. So he gave me two tickets to the World Series game. So we were living in New York at the time, and we had it. We had our very young child, but we're just like, all right, Caroline, our friend, can you watch Francis? We're going to drive, watch the game, drive home. So I go and.
So like 8 hour drive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Eight to 10, depending on traffic, outside of New York. So we go and, you know, it was all fun, you know, at the beginning.
Yeah.
We were having a good time, and like, you know, Cleveland people be like, oh, how'd this happen? Cause it would mm-hmm. be like, I was like with mm-hmm. my Cubs fan wife, and something happened that day. Well, first of all, the part that really hurt is that a lot of the Cleveland people sold their tickets to the Chicago fans because,
really?
Well, Chicago's just got a lot of money. My dad sold two of his tickets. And unfortunately, I mean, they were Cleveland guys, but they were like executives. They were looking at me for cheering too loudly during the World Series. Mm-hmm. I drove them away
mm-hmm.
because I was going insane.
But that's on them.
That's on them. It's the World Series. I'm going to scream until I have no more voice. But it was, I mean, like, you know, I saw Bill Murray and McConaughey, and like,
there's seven games. So,
it was game five. Maybe
you do get really, I mean, I've been Colts playoff games where the seats surrounding us have been sold to Steelers fans and Jets fans. And you're like, this is one game.
Yeah.
And what were you getting for a Jets-Colts playoff series? $104? Like, just fucking keep your tickets.
The Cubs people were paying, like, basically people could pay for their entire season tickets by selling, like, one game's worth of World Series tickets. So I get it. Cleveland's not the richest town, so... and then we lost that game and went on to lose that World Series. And let's just say, I don't think I said anything for that entire 8.5 hour drive back to New York. I was just very sad.
So when the Cubs won, what was that like? What went down?
I still don't know if we fully healed from that. I just don't talk about it.
I'm sorry.
In some ways, it was fun. I mean, like that game seven was like, yeah, I think one of the great baseball games I've ever watched.
Mm-hmm.
But to be on the losing side of that, and I just remember as a child losing in 95 and 97, and then I think it was 97 when we lost in the bottom of the ninth. They literally had the champagne in our locker room, and then Jose Mesa starts giving up like two runs, and they're like, oh, we gotta clean up this champagne real quick.
Shit.
Like, so that's the problem when things start going bad in Cleveland. And then people just remember. It's just, we like to lose in an excruciatingly heartbreaking manner. Even when we were like, the Browns were bad, we would just like, some guy would take his helmet off, and then the other team would get to kick the field goal again, and they win, and like, a ref once threw a flag into our offensive lineman's defensive lineman's eye. He went blind.
Remember, who was it? I think, was it Johnny Manziel who went like, boop, 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 and like fell really bad? I mean, that was a fun time.
I was reading about Baker today, because we talked about it earlier, but Odell is out, torn ACL, maybe one of the worst injuries you can get in sports. But
would you call it a bitch-ass ligament?
Bitch-ass ligament, as everyone is now making T-shirts and hats and profiting off of my genius. But the thing is, like, people say, like, Baker, when he needs to get the peak of the doubt against him, or, like, have a chip on his shoulder, and that's when he's at his best. And so, oddly, I'm like, shit, now he's almost like, he lost Odell. There might be like a little bit of a run here.
I mean,
in my opinion,
he had one of his best games last week. It was against the Bengals. But you're right. He performs the best when his back's against the wall. And Cleveland fans just can't be happy, especially Browns fans. So Yeah, he will always get a lot of criticism until he wins a Super Bowl. And he also doesn't like when he plays Joe Burrow, he doesn't like that, like, Joe Burrow's the new hot kid on the street. So he really.
And he's from Ohio.
Yeah.
You know, Burrow is from.
Yeah. Well, he was on Ohio State for a year or two, but then transferred because he
grew up in Ohio.
Yeah. I can't remember where. But
I think they said like an hour and a half from Cincy. So what's that?
That's like Kentucky.
I don't know. Well, I think it's like further north.
It's like Dayton.
Yeah, it's a tough division.
It's
the only undefeated team in football is in that division. So that's tough. That's an uphill battle that you guys.
And we're 5-2, and we're clearly not as good as the two better teams.
No, you got to win. You have to get the wild card, and that's tough.
But I'll be happy. We haven't made the playoffs since 2000.
We're all rooting for it.
If the Browns made it into the postseason, that is crazy.
I wish the Browns so much success. I would love for them to make it to the playoffs. Yeah. I think they have a better chance of making it to the playoffs if Ohio goes blue.
I agree. So make sure you vote.
That's kind of the important thing here.
And
you know?
I will say that we won our championship. LeBron won the championship on my first Father's Day ever. So it was like, it was just a big day.
I mean, I forget what, because now I'm like, it doesn't make sense, but like the Lakers, LeBron winning for some reason is like, for me, it's a first big logical win, like a win that everyone can get behind.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's what we're looking for right now is a win we can all get behind. But then again, I was like, oh yeah, 2016, that was maybe the last good thing that happened in sports. But yeah, we love Cleveland. We always root for Cleveland. Once the pandemic's over, I really want to visit Cleveland. That's like in my top three places to go.
We really want to go to Cedar Point.
Cedar Point's fun. I just started following their.
They got great sports there. You know, you can throw a ball at an empty milk carton. I mean, that's classic sports.
They got turkey legs there.
Yeah. You guys, Michael, thanks so much for coming
by. This was fun.
Plug the pod.
Oh yeah, I got. I have a podcast called "Doing My Best" with Michael Joyce. Basically, it's like a fun parenting podcast. I get cool people who have kids or just people with kids in their lives. So, you know, I'm gonna have some nanny and maybe some fun aunt episodes coming up. But it's really fun, and check it out. iTunes, Spotify, you know the deal.
Yeah. What are your handles? Where can people follow you?
I am at Not Mike Joyce on Twitter and Instagram. And the pod is at Doing My Best Pod. You can go to doingmybestpod.com as well.
Hell yeah. Check that out. Michael's such a good dude, a good friend, a fellow pod member. So you and your family has got us through a lot of this pandemic. So shout out to you guys.
Right back at you guys.
I'm at CJ Toledano.
I'm at Megan Gailey. Is that it? Yeah, that. And you guys, we're 1 week away from the election. Very, very exciting. All I did yesterday was lay in bed and get high and root against the Titans and donate money. So if you have any money to donate, please act blue. Ugh. Just, you know who I want you to give it to. So give it to the good guys, not to the bad guys. Listen, you can fucking write this in the review. I don't care. And be safe. Wear your masks. Shit's going to get crazy out there. So be good to yourself. Be good to your family. CJ, I love you. Michael, I love you. Go Colts. Go Browns. Go Dodgers. Ooh. Okay. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye. The Greatest is a production of iHeartRadio.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.